There you go. Right, it's great to be here this morning. Who's happy to be here?
Yes.
Yeah, you got quite happy faces. Yeah, on the whole, good. Yeah, well, it's great to be here. I'm really excited, and thanks for having me. We just came on a flying visit to visit my mum, and it's just great that we could be here with you. We see you as part of our family, and we love you guys and what you're doing here, and we feel really connected to you, even though we don't see you much. So I just want to get straight into it. And could we have the first? We got the first slide. Yeah, great. Yeah, just been praying for a few weeks what to share with you, and this is what God's given me. And I just think God wants to just awaken something in our hearts this morning, and maybe broaden our perspectives a little bit. And I don't know about you, but does anybody here find it difficult to follow Jesus some of the time? No. Yeah. No. Lots of people. It's hard, isn't it? We don't often say that because it's not the done thing. But it's not easy, is it? You know, it's really hard. It's hard to love people well, isn't it? It's hard to forgive people. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to seek God first, seek his kingdom first as a daily walk. And I find it really hard. And lots of days I'm just faced by situations. They just seem impossible. You know, people's lives are so broken. Trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good dad, trying to be a leader, trying to believe God for the impossible. You know, where we are, we're starting a church in a post-Christian society where people don't have anything to do with God. And if they do, it was a very negative experience of growing up in the Catholic Church. And they've been failed by the church and by the state. And I'm having to deal with this in my second language, which isn't there yet. And the days I'm like, God, this is so hard. But the good news is, you know, life wasn't meant to work without God in it. And sometimes we forget this, don't we, in the West? You know, we have life and culture program us to self-protection, to comfort. Sometimes realistic goals. We retreat into a way of living that accommodates our worldview and our beliefs of what's possible. And we forget sometimes that God wants to change that and transform that. You know, we've forgotten what we're called to be. I studied design at university and long time ago now. And we used to have these briefs called blue sky briefs where you basically design anything as wacky as possible. You don't think about how it's going to work. You just come up with crazy ideas because that's how you come up with new products. And I remember in my third year of my degree, I went and had a work placement and I learned how things really work. And when I came back to my final year to my degree project, my design was really limited because all the time I was thinking with a practical brain, I had these crazy ideas. And I was thinking, that won't work, that won't work. And my designs got really boring because the reality of life had made me small. It made my thinking small. And sometimes we're like that. We think too practically. I don't know if anybody here's seen the film The Good Dinosaur. Has anybody seen? Yeah. If you haven't, just breathe. It's a really nice film. I'm just getting into these things with my kids now. And it's about a little dinosaur called Arlo who loses his family. And he's trying to get home. And he comes across this funny dinosaur in the forest. And this big dinosaur is a bit scared. And he has these friends who help him find his way. So I just want to show you this 1 minute clip. Hope you can hear it okay. Okay, so I love that clip. Just a very small bit in the film, but it's genius. And this big dinosaur, he says, it's terrifying out here. I need somebody to help me. And he's got Fury, who protects him from the creatures of the night, and Destructor, protecting him from mosquitoes. And then my favorite, Dream Crusher, who protects him from unrealistic goals. And then Debbie, who we don't know what she does. But, you know, God never meant for us to be alone. And he knew we were going to need help. He knew we were going to need a helper. If we can have the next slide. In John 16, 5-7, Jesus says something really amazing. And he says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Let's read that last bit. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And we can imagine this scene. This was just before Jesus is arrested and eventually goes to the cross. And it's starting to dawn on the disciples that Jesus is going to die, that he has to die. And you know, he's their rabbi, their Lord, their best friend. He's their only hope. And they understand that he's going to go and die. But what they don't realize is he's going to come back to life again. But even so, it's Jesus' plan always to return to his Father. You know, this isn't what his friends planned for. They were imagining a future with Jesus coming and restoring the kingdom and overthrowing the Romans. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah who'd come and restore Israel. And suddenly they realized they got it wrong. You know, this servant king, this friend of sinners, this feet-washing man was going to leave them. And imagine how you would feel. And then he says these amazing words. It's better for you if I go. If I don't go, I can't send the helper. If we could have the next slide in the Amplified Bible. Just unpacks it a bit more. But because I've said these things to you, sorrows filled your hearts and taken complete possession of them. But I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. You know, that's an amazing promise, an amazing statement of Jesus. You know, Jesus had turned everything on its head. You know, before they had the old religious hierarchy where if you wanted to come close to God, you had to bring a sacrifice, an animal, and you had to go to the temple and see a priest. And only the priest could go and encounter God. And only one day a year could he really go and encounter God in the holy place. And there was always this system where they needed an intermediary, somebody to come between them and God. And then Jesus came and he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he revealed to us what our dad's like, what our father's like, that we could call him Abba Father, that we can call him Daddy. Because Emmanuel, God with us, was supposed to be our new reality. And Jesus modeled to us how to live in complete connection and submission to the Father and to live through the Holy Spirit's power. But Jesus chose to limit himself to be in one physical place. You know, people traveled for days to see Jesus, to be in his presence, to listen to him. Because in that moment and place, the kingdom was demonstrated and there was an open heaven. Look at the next slide. You know, we were never meant to be left alone, point one. Jesus says, it's better for me to go. So the Holy Spirit can come to every believer. Right now you've got one of me, but I want to send my spirit to everyone. It's no longer going to be one place to access God. God's going to be available to everyone at the same time. And it sounds like an obvious thing, but in my travels, I've been really, really fortunate. The last 20 years, I've probably been to about 30 different countries to talk to people about Jesus. And what really strikes me, the fact is God's doing stuff in every country I go to. And this sounds obvious, but it's not obvious. You know, I go to India and God's there. I go to South America and God's there. I'm in Spain and God's there. That didn't happen when Jesus was on the earth. He had to go to Israel to meet with God. So there's something special that's happening. You know, the Holy Spirit's not just working every geographical space, but he's working in culture. He's working the arts. He's working economics. He's working vocations and jobs. You know, we often preach in church, you know, salvation, which is right, and transformation of our soul. But Jesus and his disciples, they always preach the kingdom, the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is so much greater than just salvation. It's about transformation. It's about God's rule, his power, his reality, present in every part of culture and society. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of going to Calcutta and volunteering with a project there, and it's in one of the worst areas of the city. Calcutta's a huge city, 20 million people. And I've got some friends and they're living in the largest red light area in Asia. And there's over 20,000 traffic girls living in a square kilometer. And they came there with a young family and found themselves living in this place. And they suddenly realized planting a church was useless because people's needs, the reason that people were trapped in this world was an economic problem, and they didn't needed an economic solution as well as knowing Jesus. So they started businesses so these women who were working in the sex industry could leave and have a good job. And they not only did that, they found out that these women were exploited because they were literate, even in their own language. So first of all, they taught them to read and write their own names. And then they educated them. And then they taught them about healthcare and about rights. And then they put their kids through school and they started a creche. And they ran these businesses. And of these 20,000 women, they've got over 4,000 now who no longer have to do their old jobs. And their dream is to close down this area for good, so it doesn't exist anymore. Isn't that exciting? That's so much more than just accepting Jesus in our hearts, accepting the cross and knowing we're saved. This is the kingdom of God present. And in a little way, that's what we're trying to do in Spain. We want to be present in every part of our society. And this is a little example, but I might have mentioned it in our letters, but I think it was last year, I was in a shop in town, and it was a phone shop, and everything in Spain is slow, but phone shops are slow in any country, I think. And there's a lady behind me who was impatient, so I let her go in front of me, and this was all in Spanish, but basically she thought her phone was waterproof, and she'd thrown it in the sea, and it wasn't, and she was really cross. And she wanted a new phone, and the shop was saying, it wasn't, and you're silly, basically. But she got more and more aggressive and angry. At one point, I was like trying to restrain her so she didn't dive over the counter. It's like being back in Liverpool again. And after a while, you know, she didn't get her way. She went out, and she was really abusive to the two ladies behind the counter. And I went away. I did my thing. And this didn't sit right with me. And I thought, it's nothing to do with me, but it is, because this is in my town. So I had to swallow my pride, because God said, you need to buy them some flowers, and you need to take them some flowers, and you need to speak life over them. So I bought a big bunch of flowers, and I looked pretty stupid, and I was waiting for ages outside the shop, thinking, I've got to walk up to two women in a busy shop and give them flowers. But anyway, I finally did it, and I just gave them these flowers, and I just said, no one needs to speak to you like that. You know, you've got amazing value. I just want to thank you for what you're doing in this community. You're beautiful people, and God loves you. And they were crying, and we hugged, and that was it. And, you know, it's a small act of kindness, but that's what we need to be about. You know, that's about the kingdom coming into my town. I didn't even mention Jesus. I didn't need to. I just need them to know that they're loved, that they're valued, and they shouldn't get abused in their job. You know, so many people look to somebody else to bridge the gap between them and God. Where we work, there's a really drawn-out system where people go to the priest to confess, and then they pray to Maria, to Mary, Jesus' mum, and then they pray to the saints, and then they might pray to the Pope. And they've not got a concept that we can have this intimate relationship with God. But you know, sometimes we do that. Maybe we look to our leaders, maybe you look to people in this church to help solve your problems or to help you. You know, we look to people that are more gifted than us. You know, who in this room would describe themselves as an introvert? Yeah. And the rest of you probably are, but you don't want to put your hand up because you're introverts. And who are the extroverts? Yeah. Yeah, don't be shy. Come on, you can put your hands up. You know, so often when we read the Bible, we read it through certain filters. But the most successful leaders in the Bible are actually shy introverts. You know, you look at Moses, he was scared to talk. He wanted Aaron to do it all for him, you know, because he had a stutter. Look at David, he spent all his time with the sheep in solitude. Look at Peter, he was a coward. He ran away and went back to fishing. But something happened to the three of them, and that was when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. It all changed. Moses becomes a man that liberates a whole nation and stands up to one of the most powerful rulers in history. David becomes the greatest king that we have in the Bible, and Peter becomes the first real apostle to really stand up and preach on Pentecost and see thousands saved. You know, we're given a new paradigm when Jesus dies and comes back to life. It says, at his death, it says the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and that veil covered the holy place. And what this was saying was, suddenly there's access for everyone. You don't need somebody anymore. Jesus made a way that we can all have access to this holy place. You know, most of us are grown up knowing God is our Father. We know about Jesus, but for many of us, we've not really ever been introduced to the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting what John the Baptist says of Jesus. He could have said a lot of things about Jesus, but what he says in Matthew 3:11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who's more powerful than I and whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And you think of all the things John could have said about Jesus. Well, one's coming who's going to heal you. One's coming who's going to give you great wisdom. One's coming who's going to die for you. You know, he says, here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But other than that, he talks about Jesus coming to baptize you in fire. And you know, John understood this because the Bible says in Luke 1:15 that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And he was a lunatic in the best possible way, eating locusts and honey and out in the wilderness, and brought a whole nation back to God. So he understood the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's have the next slide, please. I found this picture of Scott Williamson on one of his days off. It's an old picture. And he likes to fly around Glastonbury Tour, I've heard. But put that up, you know, to illustrate this. You know, we're empowered for a purpose. And previously in the Bible, in the Old Testament, leaders were anointed with the Holy Spirit. Prophets were anointed. And now in the New Testament, we have this new thing, this new promise that it's for everyone. And before Jesus went to heaven, he left us with a great commission, which we all know, to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. But I wonder what the disciples were thinking at this stage. God, how can we do this? You know, they were still afraid. Some of them were doubters. Others had stopped performing miracles. It's quite an interesting thing in the Gospels where there came a point where the disciples had a demon that they couldn't cast out. And eventually Jesus has to step in. And after that point, there's no recorded miracle by the disciples until Pentecost. You know, they'd forgotten what they were called to be and they'd retreated and they'd become small. You know, they'd even gone back to fishing. And then Jesus says this amazing thing to them. Next slide, please. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and said, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, Jesus didn't say, okay, guys, off you go. You get on with this whole winning the world thing. But there's a date for your diaries. Come back on the 12th because we're going to have a little charismatic meeting in Jerusalem. You know, Peter likes to worship with his hands in the air. So we'll give him his fix on that. Then we'll get back to work. You know, he doesn't say that. He says, don't move and wait. You know, who likes to hear that? I don't like to hear that. You know, I like to move all the time and I hate waiting. But he says, don't move, wait. And he repeats what John the Baptist says. He says, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you will receive power and then you will be my witnesses. You know, there's an order. There's a waiting. There's a not moving. There's a receiving of Holy Spirit and power. And then there's the going. You know, this is something new. We can read, this is a long preach, but we could read through the Gospels. You know, first of all, Jesus breathed on the disciples and they received Holy Spirit and they healed the sick and they cast out demons. But this was just a taste of what was to come. Just the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives promised for every believer. And sometimes we forget what's available for us. If we could have the next slide, please. You know, my son Sam, I think it was his second birthday, we thought, what should we get him? We thought, let's get him a scooter. And we got one of those little three-wheeled ones. I forgot what they're called, micro scooters or something. And for a whole year, he'd walk along pushing the scooter by his side. And we're like, Sam, it's much better if you get on it. And all he wanted to do was push it. And it got really annoying. And on his third birthday, a year later, I just said to him, Sam, I'll give you chocolate if you get on your scooter. And he got on it and went off. Like he'd ridden it his whole life and now he's crazy on it. But he had a scooter and he pushed it everywhere. And this picture's an example of how we can be sometimes. You know, it's like we've got this amazing motorbike. I don't know about motorbikes. I don't know if Nick's here today. He does a bit. But, you know, those of you who had bikes, you know, they're amazing things, aren't they? And it's like, as a metaphor, you know, we know all about it. We can tell everybody this is a Ducati and it's got this size engine. It can go 0 to 60 in this speed, 0 to 100. And it's amazing. And the fuel economy. You know, we know the theory sometimes about our faith. And we can talk all the facts and we can sing songs about a motorbike. You know, our motorbike's amazing and all this stuff. You know, but, and we can tell others all about our motorbike. But we spend our whole life doing that. We walk by the side of it and push it. Because we haven't yet wanted to risk getting on it. Because it is risky. And I'm always fascinated in the Bible. If you look at the people who did anything for God, they were crazy. You look at Noah. He was mad. He spent 70 years building a boat when it had never rained and then filled it with animals. I mean, that's if he's in your church, you'd say, out, wouldn't you? You'd say, go to another one. He's a problem, isn't he? You know, all the people in the Bible who did anything, they took huge risks and did crazy things. But we sometimes forget this. You know, the Great Commission is impossible without Pentecost. And so often we've tried to do it without Pentecost. We've tried to go out and it's been hard work and it's been dry. That was always my experience. You know, we can have events, we can have programs, we can teach theology, we can sing songs. But without Pentecost, we can never reach a broken world. Because this is about the kingdom of God invading every space. You know, we saw a clip earlier on of how the dinosaur had different friends for different things. And it's the same with Holy Spirit. He has many different names in the Bible. And he was present throughout the Old Testament. He was present at creation. And through the Old Testament, as we said, he anointed leaders and kings and prophets. And in the Hebrew, the word for Holy Spirit is ruach, which is an onomatopoeic word, which is a word that sounds like what it is, like bang and clap and smash. And ruach is like the noise of a rushing wind. You can imagine that. And in the Greek, he had different words as well. He has one word for Holy Spirit is dynamis. And that's like a power word. And you get words like that, like dynamite and dynamic and dynamism. They all come from that root word dynamis. And then we have parakletos, which means somebody who comes aside alongside us, our helper, our advocate. You know, he's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called a rushing wind. He's called a fire. He has these different attributes. You know, so often we limit how God can work in our lives, don't we? I know I do. The Spirit of God was present in creation at the start. It said the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters when the earth didn't have any form. And if the Spirit of God was present in creation, surely he's the most creative force there is. And my experience is being a designer, there have been so many times I've just asked, I've said, Holy Spirit, I need some inspiration. You know, my degree, I had to design something every week. And it was so tough to come up with ideas. I just pray, I say, Holy Spirit, give me inspiration. Suddenly this idea would come. In my job running a business as a builder, there'd be problems I couldn't solve. I'd say, Holy Spirit, I need a solution now. And suddenly this thing would just drop in my head that would just solve the problem. You know, he wants to help us in all these different ways. If I can have the next slide. It's this really interesting passage in Exodus. And it says, the Lord says to Moses, see, I've appointed by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. And I've filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, understanding, and ability in all kinds of craftsmanship to design artistic works in gold, silver, bronze, to cut gemstones, to carve wood, so that he may be a master of every craft. Isn't that an amazing verse? So they were building the temple, and God sent the Holy Spirit to anoint somebody, not to preach the gospel, not to lead, not to lead worship, but to make things beautifully for the temple. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, in the Old Testament, we see craftsmen, we see musicians, we see dancers. You know, God wants to breathe life into every area of our lives, into your business, into your work. I heard a great story recently. Some of you might have heard about a lady called Heidi Baker, and she's a missionary in Mozambique. And they see God do a lot of amazing things there. They're just so open to Holy Spirit. And she told a story I heard the other day, which really excited me, because I've always believed God wants to help us in every area. You know, God's interested in every part of your life. And as she was saying, they were trying to dig a well. You know, they have a lot of droughts there. And they'd been given this drilling machine, and she knows a lot of people around the world. They've been trying to find somebody to work this drilling machine to drill a well, and no one could do it. And then one day this crazy American turns up on her door, and she's quite wild. And she describes him as crazy. And he says, ma'am, I'm the best well digger in the world. And she's like, okay then. And so he goes across to this machine and he starts praying in tongues and he's walking up and down and she's like, he's too crazy for me. I'm going to go out and visit a village. And she came back and this guy had put this machine together in one day and nobody had been able to put it together. And the next day she goes out, she hears this rumbling early morning. This guy's drilling a hole right by the church. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, we're going to hit water. And sure enough, that day they hit water. And he's like, she said to him, you need to come around my house for dinner and tell me your story. So she had him around for dinner. And he said to her, there's something you need to know about me. I've never been to school. I've never studied engineering. I've never dug a well. I've never even seen a drilling machine. But when I was 12, the Holy Spirit came to me and said, you're going to dig wells in Africa. And I came here and I just asked the Holy Spirit to show me. And he showed me how to put the machine together and drill a hole. Isn't that mind-blowing? I mean, that is incredible. But it takes risk, doesn't it? And I just want to release something this morning that God is interested in every part of your life. And if we want to see more than just the gospel, if we want to see the kingdom of heaven invade earth and transform it, we need God to be present in every part of our lives. We need that as parents. We need that in our schools. We need that in our businesses. We need that in the arts. We need that in the sporting world. We need that in politics. God's interested in all those areas and he wants to equip us and empower us. We could have the worship guys up just to play something in the background, please. We can have the last slide. You know, we need help, don't we? I need help every day. My life does not work if I don't have Jesus in it. You know, I'm struggling with my language. I'm raising a son with additional needs in a foreign country, trying to start a church amongst people that have got no concept of anything. I need him desperately in everything. And Jesus knew that, so he sent us the Helper. What a great name. He sent us the Helper. And he wants to empower us, and he wants to transform us, and he wants to give us wisdom, and he wants to give us resources. And just as a way of response, just as the guys play, I just ask this question. I just want us to look at that question. You know, what would it look like if you allowed the Holy Spirit into every area of your life? And I believe this morning, Holy Spirit just wants to identify in ourselves places where we've retreated back into the realm of what's possible. And often we do that as we get older. I know I have in my life. You know, I had so much passion when I was 18. And as life goes on, you take some knocks and you start to lower your expectations of life and disappointment comes in. You know, do we limit God? Do we only allow him into certain areas? Do we say, you can have my life on a Sunday morning, but the rest of my week, I want to be in control? Or are we willing to say, God, I trust you. You've sent me the Helper. I want to be helped, even if it means taking risks, even if it means getting on that motorbike that I've never ridden. The guys can just play. It's in the background. Just as a way of response, just want us just to shut our eyes and let's just ask ourselves that question this morning. You know, what would it look like? What's the possibility? What are the things in your heart, the passions, the desires that so far haven't happened? They haven't worked out, or you don't feel you're capable. I want to speak to every introvert here. I'm an introvert. You know, but when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, it changes everything. Because we're not relying on our own abilities, we're relying on him. And there's people here, you keep making excuses and you keep looking to other people and saying, they can do it, but I can't. And that's a lie. You know, at Pentecost, the Spirit came to everyone. It says there was a tongue of fire on everyone's head. This gift is for every single person, not just a few. What would it look like? Let's just be open to him. You know, one of Paul's letters, he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the verb there is the present continuous. Be continually, daily filled with Holy Spirit. That's the prayer for my life. Let's just ask him to do that. I'm going to pray for us to finish, but I'm going to still be up here. And I just felt there's two groups of people that might want to come up. I just felt there's a few people you feel just a bit dry, a bit like you're going through the motions, I really believe God wants to give you a fresh touch this morning of his Spirit. And I just also felt as people who you feel like you've compartmentalized your life, there's areas that you've not been willing to let God into. And it's time to just give him full reign at every part. Just allow him to just come in and just blow your mind with what he can do. So I'm just going to pray for us all together. But if that's you during the worship, you wanted to come forward and get some prayer from myself or the ministry team or the guys, Dave, whoever's around, that would be great. So let's just pray to finish. Jesus, we just want to thank you this morning for the most amazing gift that you sent us, the Helper. And Holy Spirit, we just want to open our lives to you this morning. We want to wait and not move until we receive this fire that you want to give us, this empowerment, so we can be witnesses and more than that, to bring the kingdom everywhere we go. Thank you for this amazing church. I just ask that there'll be people that are marked out as kingdom carriers in every sphere of society that you put them in, that you empower them to do things that they didn't dream were possible on their own. Jesus' name. Amen.